Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.
If you've ever been on an airplane, you're probably familiar with that speech that they give us just before you take off. You know, they start talking about how to put a seatbelt on for those of us who need to understand that, and exits, and in the unlikely case of a water landing, we get that one, which sounds a lot like crashing into the ocean to me. But then you get that talk about if there is a sudden loss of air pressure, that these oxygen masks will drop down. And they always say, you know, make sure you put yours on first before you put it on your children. And I always think, oh, well, we want to take care of the kids first. I mean, what's up with that? And in case you wondered about that, the reason is because of this thing called hypoxia. And what happens is when there is this sudden loss of air pressure in the room, in the environment, then also there's a big drop in oxygen to your brain. And what results in hypoxia is sluggish thinking, diminished vision, and even loss of consciousness. And the weird part of it is sometimes or always when it's happening to the person, they are unaware that it's happening. And so sometimes when this hits people, they will start laughing or they act a little goofy just before they pass out. And so sometimes this hypoxia can happen rapidly, and other times it, you know, happens slowly. And so when I thought about this, I thought about our relationships and how often without the breath of life, oxygen, in our marriage or in our relationship, we start to get sluggish in our thinking. We start to get dimmed vision, and our relationship starts to lose consciousness. We start to pass out. And it's like the life goes out of the relationship, and sometimes we're not even conscious of it till it's over. Relationships can be a wonderful thing or a devastating thing. And here's the question. Where is yours headed? And are you aware of it? Many people in our society today are afraid of relationships. It's this fear that love doesn't really work, that marriage doesn't really work. And when you look around, I mean, how can you blame them? You see marriages falling apart, people struggling, many of us carrying issues of a broken heart where we tried to get close to a love relationship and it goes south and we have heartbreak. But here's the truth. Love does work. And that's what we're here to talk about. Love works. Sometimes we just forget how to love, or maybe we've never really learned. You know, we get hurt by disappointments, and so we stop trusting each other. Or we give up on the idea of marriage. You know, our society, we're trying to redefine marriage and re-understand and explain what it is. And many people will live together first, sort of checking it out, you know, sort of playing house to see if marriage might work down the road. Some people live together and have children, and then they think, well, maybe we should get married, and sort of trying to figure that out. And the reality is there are clear statistics that show when people live together before they get married, the divorce rate goes up very high, opposite of what we might think. And I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because we get some kind of false assumptions about how it works. But let me tell you this. Fear doesn't work. Lust doesn't work. Love works. Manipulation doesn't work, and selfishness doesn't work, but love works. And I want to tell you today that you have a 100% chance of having an amazing relationship, a great marriage, because love works. Examples of good marriages are rare, and what's really impactful is when you see two people that you care a lot about or you respect, and you think, oh, if anybody can make it happen, these two can. And then that relationship breaks up, It's discouraging. You think, wow, what am I going to do? What chance do I have? So that's what we're going to talk about today. And one of the biggest problems in marriages is unmet needs. Unmet needs that we have, and one or the other feeling unappreciated. There's a tremendous amount of stress in a relation that comes from that feeling that we get from the other person that, if you defined it, it would be, I wish you were different. I wish you were different than you are. I wish that you would change. And so we're getting a strong message from that. And so today, I'm going to talk to you about the E5 solution. If you want to see how love works, it's the E5 solution. One of the most profound portions of Scripture in the Bible is found in the book of Ephesians. And it tells us some tremendously powerful secrets about how marriage works. Ephesians 5. That's the E5 solution. The truth is, a lot of people don't really understand it. A lot of people don't really like it too much. But today, I'll just give you a little bit of it. So you can take it a little bit at a time. Anybody ready for that? Okay. This portion of Scripture that is so powerful is Ephesians 5, 21 to 33. And so what I'm going to do is read to you the first verse and the last verse, and then we'll talk about it. Okay, so Ephesians 5, 21 says, submit to one another out of the reverence for Christ. Out of a reverence, a devotion to our God, to our Lord Jesus Christ. How marriage works is that we learn to submit ourselves to one to another, yield ourselves, that we prefer one another, that we focus and make the other person a priority. And then Paul begins to explain some of it. But sometimes that first verse is enough to keep us busy for 20, 30, 40 years. And he follows up this portion of Scripture with this last verse, verse 33. And he says, summing it up, so again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Those two statements are very powerful. And the truth is, every human being, male or female, we want to be respected. We want to be loved. We want to feel that. But there's something unique and specific that how men feel loved and honored is by expressing and demonstrating respect. And so how women feel honored and valued and respected is by feeling loved. Men, you have to learn to love your wife in a way where she feels honored and cared for. Learning how to do that in a way that impacts her thinking and her emotions is what our job is. You know, wives, you have to find a way to respect your husband. Respect to a man is oxygen to his soul. And so when respect is gone, he needs that little air mesh drop down. Or he'll lose consciousness. I'm telling you. You get into an argument, disagreement with your husband, and somehow you communicate disrespect, he goes unconscious. Y'all have been there. So here is how this works. Listen, you might think, well, this is really difficult. This is really hard. On some levels it is, but if we learn to love the way God designed us to speak to us, we can do it. And here's what I want to tell you. If you will do what others will not do, you can have what others will not have. You can have an amazing marriage. You can have a passionate relationship. It's the E5 solution. And how we do this is that we honor one another. Honor. Do you remember your vows if you got married? Me either. But I'm sure in your vows, if you wrote them yourself or, you know, were semi-conscious when you were saying them and, you know, or you were crying, I promise. In there, this is what I'm sure some of us said, to love, honor, and commit to. Love, honor, and commit. One way or another, we're saying that. And so it's a commitment to honor. And I want to encourage you today, if there's one thing I can get you to do, and that is to try to infuse your marriage and your relationship with honor. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, be devoted to one another, all out for one another. And it says, honor one another above yourselves. Honor his needs as a man. Honor her needs as a woman. Make it your goal. Make it your priority. And sometimes we think we're doing it, but like Jesus said one time about a group of people that were going to church and saying they had a lot of faith, he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. We do that in our marriage. We say, I love you. I'm trying to love you. Just what is it that you want? You know, we get frustrated. And so we're honoring with our lips, but our heart is far from it. And, you know, men have a tendency to default to being inattentive. And that's a nice way of saying clueless. Sometimes men, we just don't know things are going on unless it's pointed out. And so then when it gets pointed out by the wrong person, you know, then you feel disrespected. So there's like this cycle of things that go on. But we have to be honest. Sometimes we have a tendency to be inattentive. And it goes way back to the Garden of Eden. You know, God told Adam, love your wife, care for the garden, you know, do all these things. And then Eve is over there talking to the devil. You know, the devil comes to Eve. He's trying to tempt her. He's going, I don't know what Adam's doing. I don't know if he's fishing or watching baseball or something. And he's about ready to lose his marriage and his life. And he's like, a home run. Whoa, look at that. Inattentive. Oh, what's going on? Women can default another direction. Women can be independent or act like they know everything about relationships and make decisions on behalf of their husband. She's over there negotiating with the snake. I got it. So both of these lead to dishonor in the relationship. Oxygen begins to leak out of the relationship. So here's the E5 solution. Two crucial things, okay? One is climb the admiration ladder. I'll explain what that means. Now, the admiration ladder, I have a ladder here, and each one of these rungs represents an expression that we communicate to each other in a relationship, and especially a marriage. And so these rungs represent a higher form of love that's necessary in a marriage. And so we have admiration, we have endorsement. This next level is acceptance. The fourth one is tolerance. The bottom is rejection. So we have these five levels of the admiration ladder. And what I want to do is start with the middle level. That's acceptance. And the reason I want to start there is because that's where all relationships live or die, right around this middle range. It's whether you accept or not accept each other. It's whether you communicate that well or not, you know. And the amazing thing about this ladder is that we always think that we're higher up the ladder than our spouse thinks we are. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm up at the top just holding on. And they're thinking, well, you know, you could take a few steps before you got that high. But so acceptance is total acceptance for who your spouse is, who they are, and who they are not. And sometimes we marry each other for their potential. We don't realize it, but that's what we're doing. And when life happens and things don't turn out like we were guessing they would, we start not communicate, I don't accept you. You should be different. And there's a tension where you don't feel accepted or valued or appreciated, and all this builds up. And especially when you have blended families and you've got, you know, stepchildren and emotions and other relationships, and there's this whole communication of, you're not accepted in my family. You're not my real mom. You're not my real dad. And there, all of this acceptance has to be solid in the relationship. And what I want to do is take you down a little bit, because just below acceptance is tolerance. And think about that word, tolerance. We're very familiar with the word of word tolerance in our society. And we talk about it like we need to be tolerant of each other. Like that's a high expression of honor. And, you know, we set that up high and we're expecting everybody to be tolerant. And you and I do a lot of tolerating in life. We tolerate our neighbor who parks their truck in front of our house. We tolerate the coworker who won't stop talking while we're trying to get work done. We tolerate, you know, this and that, and we tolerate our spouse. But what happens when you tolerate your spouse, oxygen begins to leave the relationship, and it starts to die a little bit. Tolerance is not quite as devastating as rejection, but it's just one step away. Nobody thrives under rejection. Rejection is the death blow to a relationship. And often we are, this is the death step right here, rejection. And here we're living right there on tolerance and thinking, I'm a real tolerant guy. You know, I want extra points for that. I mean, all the things that you've said or done. I mean, if you knew my husband, you would be impressed with how tolerant I've been. And yet, tolerance is not selfless at all. Tolerance is all about us. We think we're being generous. And, you know, Holly once said to me, I feel like you tolerate me. And when she said that, I first thought, you're welcome. And then I felt the impact of the words. And I thought, here's somebody who's looking to me for love that will last them a lifetime. And what she's getting is that sense of tolerating. And when you tolerate somebody, it's devastating. It might be a step up from rejection. It might be a step up from what you've been through, but the next step down is rejection. And you might think, well, in a marriage, you know, as long as you're married, you're not rejecting somebody. But have you ever really had these thoughts or made these expressions or statements where you think, I wish you were different. I wish you would change. I wish you were more like that spouse of the friend that we have so much respect for. Or I wish you were like my old boyfriend or girlfriend. You know, you never want to say that. Or there's another level called dead. You know, so. But what these are saying, listen to this. What those statements and thoughts are saying is this. I don't want you. I want someone else. I want a different version of you. What am I supposed to do? This is the only version I've got. So we find ourselves rejecting. So we're talking about acceptance. Now, most marriages live and die on that middle range. And listen to this. Love demands that we climb. If you're going to breathe life into your relationship, if you're going to take your marriage to the next level, you've got to climb up. You've got to take your marriage from tolerance to acceptance. You've got to take your level of acceptance to the next one up, which is endorsement. You know, celebrities and sports stars get big money for endorsing something. I use this cologne. I use this deodorant. You know, this is the best car. They're endorsing it. If we endorsed if a celebrity endorsed a product the way we tend to think we're endorsing our spouse, they wouldn't get paid for it. Wouldn't be too impressive. And so endorsement means I like this. Endorsement says, I value this person. It's this person is important, has my endorsement. And this is a great place for a relationship to be. It's honoring your spouse's uniqueness. It's part of the E5 solution. And endorsement brings power, brings oxygen, brings fuel to the relationship. And if you think endorsement is great, when you get to admiration, that is a whole other strength. It's like new life comes into the relationship. You climb up this ladder by honor, honoring others. And listen, humility on your part, honoring the other, is what allows you to climb upward. It takes your eyes off of yourself and you put it on someone else. We climb this ladder rung by rung, increasing honor and respect. Acceptance embraces, and honor gives value to. Honor blesses, values. So make it your goal, listen, to climb up the admiration ladder. Make it your goal. Jesus said once that a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. So listen to what he was saying. Everywhere I go, everywhere prophets go, people love them. They go, oh, I want to hear you teach. I want you to pray for me. I'm going the extra mile. I'm going to come hear what you got to say. Then he comes home. And they go, I know him. I seen him when he was little. And he's the carpenter's family. And he could do no mighty works there because there was no honor, it said. The Son of God, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, healer, deliverer, master, could do no mighty works in an environment of no honor. I wonder if you feel that way. I wonder if your spouse feels that way. I go to work, people love me. They encourage the good work. People love me at school, the class I'm taking, my friends, at church. And then I come home, and this is a place where there's no honor. I come home, you're late. What happened to you? I need you. You're supposed to do this. What about that? And all of a sudden, dishonor is what we get when we come home. You go, how come you don't hang out? How come you're so busy all the time? Well, there's math involved. And that means the more you add up honor other places, the more that's where we want to go. When you come home and all the honor gets distracted out of your soul, that's not a very inviting place to go to. Honor is a powerful, powerful language. And honor brings trust, and honor brings intimacy. In the 80s movie, Jerry Maguire, Tom Cruise plays this husband, and he gets successful in his business, and he gets married to Renee Zellweger and that character, but eventually they break up in their marriage because he is inattentive to the situation, to her. He's out being successful. And so there's this scene that happens where he realizes he's reached some level of success, but it doesn't mean anything because love is what's powerful. Marriage is important. And with success without that, it's not worth it. So he's looking for his wife to come apologize. And so then he steps into this small group. It's women who have been heartbroken by men. It's a man's biggest nightmare to stand in front of a gathering of women and have to declare your feelings to your spouse. And he walks in there and he's like, he goes, okay, all right, this is how it has to be. Okay, he puts his bag down and he starts talking to her. And he starts babbling on and describing stuff and expressing, you know, his feelings for her. And there's a point where she goes, oh, shut up. You had me at hello. Okay. What is that? Well, that is the dream conversation of every man. That is the one word conversation. Hello. Oh. You got me tonight, honey. One word. There's a love song in a movie that we saw, and one of the songs was, you say it best when you say nothing at all. It's very romantic. But I'm listening to it, and Holly goes, a guy wrote that song. Okay, so now why did she say to him, you have me at hello? because what he was doing was, listen, you're more important than anything to me, and I'm going to take this moment and I'm going to honor you. And then it doesn't matter if you say it right or you leave something out, because you communicate that honor, and that is healing. That is brings trust. That crosses the T's and dots the I's and explains the foolishness. You go, I'm here to honor you. I don't care who knows. And honor is so powerful. It has that impact. And see, the thing is, we know how to do it. Even though we live in a world that honor is not easily expressed, we know how to do it. Because that's how we won the heart of that husband. That's how we won the heart of that wife. We honored them. Sometimes we're more honoring of strangers than we are people we want to spend the rest of their life with. You know, we meet somebody, open the door, oh, no problem, you know, they drop something here, let me get that for you, and they're off they go, you don't know their name, you know. Then your spouse is like, boy, you're clumsy, look at you, dropped that, you know. It's like, you want me to open the door? I mean, what's, and so here's this person that we want to invest in having the greatest relationship of our life, and we're holding back on honor, but we know how. It's just hidden in there. And sometimes we get unconscious to it, and what happens is that life goes out of the relationship. Several years ago, I got the chance to meet Michael Jordan. And for those of you who don't know, Michael Jordan is the star of that movie, Space Jam, you know. And you made me feel really good the fact that when I said, those of you who don't know, everyone started laughing, because everybody knows Michael Jordan, the greatest NBA player of all time. So while I'm pastoring this church, he is shooting the movie Space Jam in Burbank. And so I had the opportunity to go down there during a break in the filming while he's playing basketball with some friends. They set up a temporary place. So I get to go meet him, and there I go, Michael, Philip, Michael, I shake his hand, I get an autographed basketball, Michael Jordan, yeah, okay. Don't get any ideas, there's security in the building. So I was so excited that I got to meet. I shook his hand, and I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to wash this hand, you know. I wonder if it'll help my jump shot. And it didn't, by the way. So I started talking to people. Guess what I did today? You know, I'm wanting to say what, so I can tell them I met Michael Jordan. I called up friends I hadn't talked to for like 6 months. Anything going on with you? I want them to say the thing to me. No, what's up with you? Oh, funny you asked. MJ. So after this powerful encounter, something weird happened. He never called me. He doesn't text me. We don't Facebook. He just dropped me. And here I realized it was so easy for me to invest all this honor and enthusiasm in a relationship that lasted 5 minutes at most. And I tried to get a lot of mileage out of that. But sometimes it's really hard for me to conjure up honor for my wife. The one I truly admire, the one I truly want to endorse, the one that means more to me than anybody. And when is the last time that you thought about your spouse, looked at your spouse, talked about your spouse to someone else and went, guess what? I'm married to Holly. Because when you go, you breathe air into the relationship. Because that's honor. Honor brings oxygen. The second element to the E5 solution is creating an authentic, life-giving faith in God. Let me tell you, this is probably one of the most important things in any marriage and any relationship, and that is having an authentic, genuine relationship with God. And here's why. Marriage was not created for two people alone. It was created for two people and God. It's three entities in the marriage: the husband, the wife, and the presence of God. Because you can't love the way that is required to love without faith in Jesus Christ, without the presence of God. And we read in this E5 solution, it says, love your wife. How? Like Jesus loves people. Like, well, you mean he gave his life for them, even though they might reject him? Or, yep, that kind of love. How do you respect him? Well, it's easy for me to respect Jesus. If my husband was like Jesus, of course I'd respect him. But maybe it's the lack of honor where he can do no mighty work. Maybe it's when we give honor and respect that we rise up in that environment. And that takes faith. That takes the God kind of love. That's the kind of love that works. God's love. And so it makes us understand that prayer is important. That we pray for each other. We pray for our home, our marriage. That we pray with each other. And it's not something that has to be done all day long. It's just taking that moment to honor God, honor the marriage, and pray. You know, there is a myth that people say, oh, marriages fall apart all over the world. It's the same in the church. It might be the same if you attend a religious organization, but it is not the same for people who have an authentic faith in God. It's just not. The organization Family Life did a survey and a study, and they found that of the Christian marriages, that only 8% of the couples that they interviewed pray together. But of the 8% who prayed together, only 1% of those were divorced, would go into divorce. So there is a high impact when we pray. There is a high impact when we read God's word and we ask for wisdom and we say, Lord, this is what we're asking for in our home. We want you to bless this marriage. Lord, you said here, don't lean on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord. So that's what we're going to do. Lord, how do we handle our finances? Oh, it says in your word that we're going to tithe. We're going to honor you first. So we're going to give that tithe. We're going to ask for your blessing. What is it that we need to do? Oh, we need to forgive each other. So we're going to do that. What do we need to have in our house, God? And he said, well, you need to have worship. Oh, I want to worship you in our home. And when you bring God into the presence of your relationship, healing takes place. Freedom takes place. Forgiveness happens. The blessing of God. There is a big difference when the hand of God is on your marriage and when you're just the person who, if you get to pick which religion you favor most, that favors Christianity. That's not what it's talking about. It's having an authentic faith in him. And marriages are radically different when God is invited into the middle of it. In the book of Revelation, Jesus said, here I am. I stand at the door and I knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. This is an invitation that Jesus stands at the door of your marriage. God stands at the door of your marriage and he's knocking. Let me be a part of it. So, oh God, how do I understand my wife? Are you swearing or are you praying? Because God wants to answer that prayer and come in and guide you. Oh Lord, what about this husband? Are you giving up or is that a prayer? Because he wants to come in and guide you, teach us how to love like he loved. He wants to breathe life into our marriage, bring oxygen into our heart and soul so that we will have clear vision, we'll be conscious, we'll be alert, we'll be able to bless that one who needs that from us. I hope that you make a decision today to take your marriage to the next level, climb up that admiration ladder one step at a time. I hope that you embrace that E5 solution and you honor each other and that you bring God's presence into your marriage and you will have a marriage that others seem to not be able to have. Because you know what? You'll know that love works. If you'll do what other people will not do, you can have what others will not have. Let me pray with you. God, I pray for every marriage represented in this room, every marriage listening to my voice, every person online, I pray, God, that you would show us how to love one another the way you've called us to love one another. Show us how to honor one another, a genuine, authentic honor of our husband and of our wife, in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring healing to people's relationships and marriages, that you would heal the disappointments of our heart. And Lord, we say, we hear your voice. We hear you knocking at the door. And we open the door to you and invite you in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Oasis Church podcast. To find out more about Oasis, including service times and directions, please visit our website at oasisla.org.